Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Compared to the cumbersome HVAC systems needed to regulate temperatures in our homes and offices, the human body operates efficiently and effectively. If you're young and in good health, your body automatically finds ways to cool down to maintain a safe core temperature. But as we age, our bodies are less efficient and less able to adjust to the heat. That's why older adults are at greater risk of experiencing heat stress when the temperature goes up.
It's not uncommon during a heat wave to read about individuals found dead in their homes. For seniors living alone, heat stress can take its toll before they realize they're in trouble. Knowing how and why risk increases with age and what factors amplify that risk can help reduce the chance of heat stress. Joining us for a discussion on heat stress in older adults is an expert from the National Institute on Aging. Dr. Basil Eldada is Supervisory Medical Officer of the Division of Geriatrics and Clinical Gerontology at the National Institute on Aging.
Thank you for coming on the show today, Dr. Eldada.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a baseline on what we mean when we say older adults. How are we defining that group? And what is that age group?
Well, that's a question that we can ask a lot. Sometimes there is an age cutoff that people use to define an older adult. So, for example, 65 and older or somebody who's on Medicare. We tend to look at an older adult as someone who exhibits the issues both biologically, socially, that accompany older age. And so one can be aging or older, whether they are at a younger age or at a very older age.
Well, is there a biological thing that happens in the body? We talk about that our bodies aren't exactly like an HVAC system. Is there an age, or does it have to do with our overall medical condition that make older adults more prone to heat stress than younger people?
So it's a little bit of both. So our bodies have a pretty remarkable way of keeping our core body temperature within a pretty narrow range despite a very large fluctuation in ambient temperatures. And our bodies do this in two primary ways. One is that we sweat. And when we sweat, the water on our skin evaporates, and that leads to a cooling of our bodies. The second way is that we have an intricate network of blood vessels in the skin that can dilate and constrict, sort of like the way in which a car radiator works to bring fluid close to the air, which can then cool down the system. So with older age, both of those mechanisms tend to reduce in function. So older adults tend to sweat less, and that blood vessel system that dilates and constricts doesn't work quite as well as it used to in younger age. But in addition to those mechanisms, there are also other conditions that older adults tend to have more frequently that can predispose to problems with heat regulation. So older adults may have one or more health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. These are conditions that may interfere with the body's ability to cool itself, and in part because of the medications that that individuals may take for those conditions. So there are a variety of different medications that can interfere with the body's cooling mechanisms, with the heart's ability to pump and get that blood through those open blood vessels in the skin, or with the ability to maintain appropriate hydration. In addition to that, there are also other issues that older adults have. So, for example, older adults may have limited physical and or cognitive function that may reduce their ability to adapt to high temperature situations or get out of the heat and into a cooler place or to hydrate. And there may be social barriers as well. So living alone, for example, or being on a fixed income that can reduce access to air conditioning.
We hear different terms: heat stress, heat exhaustion, heat stroke. What are the differences between them?
So all of those terms are categorized under this broad heading of heat-related illnesses or hyperthermia. And the different terms are generally just kind of different facets of the of a heat-related illness that are based on kind of the presenting symptoms. So heat cramps, for example, are a heat-related illness where there's cramping of the muscles. That's thought to be due to changes in the electrolytes and hydration status. There's heat exhaustion, which, it reflects the kind of fatigue and exhaustion that one might feel in a heat-related illness. And then there's the, heat stroke, which is a more severe form of a heat-related illness that presents with, a variety of conditions that includes alterations in the ability to think or, other kind of central nervous system related symptoms that reflect a true medical emergency.
If we suspect that one of our relatives or a neighbor might be experiencing some of the symptoms that you describe, heat stroke, heat exhaustion, or heat stress, when would we know it's an emergency? How do we differentiate knowing what to do? And what is your advice?
Yeah, so there are earlier signs of heat-related illness, things like just the general feelings of weakness or lightheadedness. You may see sweating, sometimes profuse sweating, and kind of pale skin, rapid breathing, a fast pulse, maybe headaches, nausea, vomiting, and mental status may or may not be affected. Those are kind of earlier signs of heat-related illness. But then if the heat-related illness progresses to a more severe form, you'll see things like an elevated body temperature, a core temperature greater than 104 degrees Fahrenheit is how heat stroke is typically defined. That's usually accompanied by other signs and symptoms. So you may see a paradoxically hot, dry skin rather than sweaty skin. And then you may start to see changes in behavior. So things like confusion, irritability, agitation, or slurred speech, maybe some unsteadiness or clumsiness. A person may start to look intoxicated. As things progress even more, you may even start to see kind of an alteration of consciousness and kind of slipping in and out of consciousness, maybe even seizures, a rapid and weak pulse, or maybe a slowing of the pulse. All of those things are, indicators of a more serious condition that require immediate medical attention. Now, you ask what to do. So prevention, of course, is the most important thing to do is, to avoid getting in that situation in the first place. And, there are several common sense measures that people can take. So, for example, wearing light-colored, loose-fitting clothing, wearing a hat to protect against the sun, maintaining hydration, avoiding being outside during the hottest part of the day or rearranging the schedule to go out, during cooler parts of the day or night. But then if you suspect that someone or yourself has one or more symptoms related to hyperthermia, there are several things that you can do. The first is just get out of the heat, get to a cooler, shaded place or a place with air conditioning, remove any excess clothing, and then cool down with whatever means are available. So, for example, put some wet towels or ice packs on the head, the neck, the armpits and groin. Those are areas that receive a lot of blood supply close to the skin and are effective in cooling the body down rapidly. Or just spray or mist or sponge down with water. Get in front of a fan. Maybe take a cool shower or bathtub if it's safe to do so, and hydrate. But if you suspect heat stroke, the first thing to do is just call 911. Do that first, and then do all these other things that I mentioned while you're waiting for help to arrive.
Excellent advice. We thank you so much for your time and expertise. Dr. Basil Eldada is Supervisory Medical Officer of the Division of Geriatrics and Clinical Gerontology at the National Institute on Aging.
Thank you.